on the paper, but I've never felt compelled to do that when I reprinted it.
Gary?
Huh?
Is there a, I may be getting ahead of the program, is there a stage three that you go on with the rest of that because of it being such a large database of 500,000 names, or?
Well, stage three would be the rollout, the complete list.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, even in the rollout, there would be 445,000 names left. I would probably still take it state by state just to keep sharp, you know?
Would you actually use up that whole 500 or cut it off somewhere?
It depends. It depends on what stage of the game you're playing at. You know, most of my clients are rolling out such serious amounts of mail that 500,000 pieces of mail sometimes isn't even a week's worth of mail, so they probably roll it out. But when you're starting out and you're watching all your dollars pretty carefully, I would not roll out the 445,000. I would do it systematically, maybe 50,000 a week, so I could make sure that all of a sudden I didn't get some nasty surprise from the list owner.
Gary?
Yes.
When you're doing a rollout state by state, have you found that one state is a better choice than another? For example, is California a better choice than Ohio?
As a general rule, the best states are Alaska, Hawaii, and then California. And as you move right across the seaboard, they get worse. Because East Coast people are uptight, anal retentives who are much less likely to send checks in the mail than West Coast loosey-goosey liberals who live in California.
Thank you.
Because in Alaska, you know, what would you do if it was dark for 4 months? You know, you can't have sex for 4 months. You got to order stuff by mail. Okay. Anyway, John or Bill, I'm wondering if we can take a break now and you can maybe let the other copywriters have access to this and then tighten it up.
Can all the other copywriters?
Yeah, I'll tear it out. And
Loretta, David, Carl, everybody else, the copywriters. And bring your notepads, your yellow notepads and pens. Ted, why don't you come up too? Bring your notepad. What we're going to do is two things. Is we're going to take Gary's and tighten it up, but we're also going to have all five of these, including everybody in this room, write an offer also.
Bill,
so you can see the mechanics.
I forgot to hand these out. I didn't actually get to the part of the program where I get to hand these out. About 5 years ago for the Robert Collier letter book, I wrote a promotion which included this, and what it is a bunch of bullets, a whole bunch of bullets, and they're real good to stimulate your ideas for bullets because they show you, like, how to put a powerful hook into your sales letters, page 68. You'll learn the strongest of all the different types of letter openings, page 283. If you, for your own product, and even for what we're doing here, if you just look through these, you'll get some good ideas of how to stimulate interest with a bullet. So they're real helpful in doing what we're going to do now.
While we're waiting, can you explain to me the psychology or why people will read an 8-page letter that they get in the mail in what they consider to be a junk mail instead of a 1-page?
You know why they'll read an 8-page letter that they think is junk mail? Because you send it to a group of people that are interested in specifically what that letter's about. I mean, if you send a letter about gold testers to my mother, she's not going to read it. Because she's not interested in gold.
I don't want to hear that question again. let me tell you something. It has been proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that the more you tell, the more you sell. As long as you have something to say that is pertinent, a 6-page letter will outpull a 4-page letter. An 8-page will outpull a 6. A 12-page will outpull an 8. A 24-page will outpull a 12, and I don't know where it ends yet, but I do know that at 56 pages ain't too long. It can never be too long. It can only be too boring. Let me elaborate on what Bill told you the other way, the way to think about how long your copy should be. You got to understand something. You are trying to do one of the most difficult things in the world. You are trying to get a stranger who has never heard of you and has no reason to trust you to part with his fungolas to enrich your life. Now, imagine that God came down and for some reason he removed you from contact with everybody with the opposite sex and said that I've picked out 50 women, or men if you happen to be a woman, I've picked out 50 people of the opposite sex, and you have to choose the person that you're going to live with and sleep with the rest of your life from these 50 people. And just because I'm God and can get away with it, I'm not going to let you meet these people. I'm not even going to let you talk to them on the phone or see a video of them. I'm going to have each one of these people write you a letter, tell you about themselves, and from those letters, you must choose the person you'll spend the rest of your life with. What would you want the letter to say? Hi, my name's Rosie. I'm cute and I like astrology. Hope you pick me. Yeah, John would say, yeah, that's enough for him. So keep that an example. When you are asking people to part with money, especially big money, and you're asking them to send it to a stranger, you need to put every compelling reason they should do this, even if it takes 100 pages. Long copy outsells short copy. Don't ask the question again.
Jerry, would you like to take your blood pressure while you're up here?
No.
Okay, what we're going to do, would you bring your chairs up here? I want y'all on the stage. I don't want you sitting off the corner. Unfortunately or fortunately, we're not all geniuses like Gary Halbert. So to us, or to me anyway, writing a direct mail offer, I can't do it in 15 minutes. As a matter of fact, to me is a mechanical process like writing a house. I mean, like building a house. I'm going to show you some letters, two letters that I wrote and how I did it, and then we're going to, in here as a group, go through the process of putting together an offer. And we're also going to see how Gary's offer is pretty close to what some of us will come up with. Can you see this? This is a letter that I wrote and sent out. And boy, I wrote it, I thought it was a great letter, sent it out, and it did pretty good. You see what the headline says? Why would investors worldwide be willing to pay $250,000 for an old wristwatch like this? And then there's a subheaded below it, and there's a picture to the right-hand column, and something below it, and then a letter. When I put together a letter, what I did is I come up with a subhead first, and then the headline, and then the little pictures and stuff. This is a fairly decent letter, but what happens was after I sent it, I looked in these old books of ads that worked, and wrote a letter that looked like this. You've got all this in your packet. It says, I will pay you up to $100,000 for an old watch like this one. Even common wrist and pocket watches can be worth thousands to you. Now, what I'm not trying to do is I'm not trying to impress you with copywriting skills because I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying to impress to you the mechanics. Most offers will have a subhead at the top. We'll have a headline. We'll have a photograph. Many of them will have a subhead below, a deer, of two or three paragraphs, some bold text, some more, a page that doesn't end on a period, and more information. So starting with that, what is the first thing you need to do to write an offer? What's the very first thing you need to do? You got to come up with a headline, don't you? So let's come up with a headline for this. And let's don't cheat. Let's don't use what Gary Halbert did. We've got some world-class copywriters here, but every one of you could come up with a headline. You've seen this product. Now, there's no such thing as a right or wrong headline because you can sell this product several different ways. You can sell it to the paranoia market, or you can use a paranoia angle, or you can use a treasure hunting angle. A lot of people may want to be, you know, may be interested in the fact that you can use this to buy gold for 10 cents on a dollar. They may be interested in the counterfeiting aspect of it. But what kind of headline can you write that'll make somebody read the rest of the letter? I mean, the headline can't just, you don't want to, this is not, Your direct mail letter should not be like a military spec manual. You shouldn't say, I got this product here, it's black, it weighs 7.2 ounces, you turn the lights on, it blinks, hey, you'd really like to have it. You got to have a headline that drags them, I guess the grease chute is a good term, a grease chute that makes them flow through the letter. And that's what we want to do, is come up with a good headline. Every one of you can do it. They're also going to do it up here. So basically, this is what you start with, a blank sheet of paper. It's only, yeah, no, we don't want to ship this. No, we don't want to ship this to jewelry stores. We don't want to mail to jewelry stores. And when we talk about other lists, we can mail to pawn shops and other things. But right now, our particular list are adult males over 40, Visa, MasterCard, spent more than $300 in the last 90 days on gold. Gold coins, gold jewelry. So what we're going to have is probably a little subhead there, a headline here, a picture here, a deer. I know that's going to be in there. Dear friend, I got that part. And then some text. And probably a bold here. Actually, I have this set up on my computer. I have a style sheet that looks just like this. It's got the spacing and everything. All you have to do is fill the words in. Of course, that's the hard part. And since y'all have the microphone, I'm going to let you talk and discuss it because I want to learn as much from you as anybody else up here. And by the way, this is another product that we're going to talk about later on. It's because if you use dear sir, you just wiped out all the women. If you use dear madam, you wiped out all the men. If you say dear enemy, they're probably not going to read the rest of it. Dear occupant, I mean, dear friend.
Actually, I think I answered. Dear sir is just it's one of those invisible words. It just identifies it as a letter. If you get direct mail from an agency, often leaves it off because it's been used since the early 20th century, since the beginning of commercial direct mail. And so they think it's very old and useless. So what it does is you open that and you know it's a letter. You know where to start reading.
No,
you know where you are in the pitch. Off. Most people don't actually read it. It's just it's an invisible word. So
the diamond test
just take
a
word for
it. So this plugs in like this. Take your ring off. This connects onto it like this. And then we put a drop of the fluid on that and make a contact. And it sends electrical circuit through it. And then based on the resistance, it tells you it's gold. Yeah, and now, John, why don't you talk to him and tell him about the hot buttons. Now, let me tell you something about this. What we want to do is that we don't want to write this about the product. What we want to do is write this about the desires and wants of the people who get the letter. I mean, we're developing a letter around the people who are going to get it, not around the product. So what we got to do is, in our mind, what do these people want, and how are we going to fulfill what they want with this letter? I mean, having this product is nice because it gives you something to write that letter around. But we're not writing the letter about this product, and the headline has nothing to do with this product. Anything we're doing doesn't really have much to do with this product. We're trying to fulfill the wants, and that's a key word, of the people who get the letter. The wants. What do these people want? Now, if they have 20 wants in life, and we can satisfy 19 of them, we're up in that magical area that John was talking about. So when you write an offer, don't make it, like I said, a military spec manual where you say, this is an M1 Abrams tank, and it's got a Chrysler 1200 horsepower engine and it breaks down every 30 miles. Don't say that. Say, with this tank you can conquer the world. You'll never get shot, no one can get to you, and you can drive around knowing, you know, that you'll never get a ticket, things like that.
Bill, the process that I go through whenever I write something is I have to write it down what all the aspects of the product are. So I think that'd be, with these copywriters, in their head, they're going through all these little gear changes, figuring out the hot buttons that is ingrained in them. Loretta?
What?
When you're writing, aren't you thinking of the different aspects of this? He just explained the thing to you right now, and he's pointing out certain hot buttons about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did anything come to mind? Can you verbalize what those things were when you were looking at it?
What he's saying, and I don't want to interrupt you here, is that when I showed this today and everybody came up here and wanted to test their rings and stuff, what got you excited about it? Those are the hot buttons. What gets you excited about having this? The fact that you can verify in your own mind that that big rock that your husband or boyfriend gave you is a real diamond, right? And then you tested the gold that you have just to be sure it was real gold. And some of you who had a ring that you knew wasn't gold or a stone that you knew that wasn't a diamond, tested it just in case. Just in case it might be a gold, it might be a diamond. So you got that treasure hunt. So you don't want to forget that. Now I'm going to give you a couple other hints. During the show, when Karen and I would show this on the home shopping show, and I think I mentioned this before, anytime I said, women, test the diamond your husband gave you because it might not be real, we always got a phone call. When I said, you know, Karen and I took this to a party and we started showing it to people and we had a crowd around us, we got phone calls. So when I said, we'd go to flea markets and test things out and the guys operating the booths would say, test this, test that, and we almost made money, people wanting us to test stuff, we'd get phone calls. When I tested the wedding ring, we'd get phone calls. So those are some of the things that reason we would get phone calls. Now, if I just showed the product and talked about how neat it was and didn't demonstrate it, no one's interested. But when I pick up a handful of jewelry and say, I went to a antique store this weekend and bought all this jewelry for $25. Let's see if we've got anything good here and start testing it. As soon as I find a piece of gold, 60 seconds to 80 seconds later, I get a phone call. We need to get a mic down here.
Yeah, he's got them all.
Come up here. Come up here. Question.
Can this differentiate between 14 carat, 18 carat, and 24 carat?
This thing will tell you if it's 18 carat or more.
I'm sorry?
This will tell you if it's 18 carat or more. It'll tell you if it's 10 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat or more. Now this is, they have another computer in the line, which I'm not going to talk more about, except for they do have a more sophisticated one. And that's our back end that we use later on. And the diamond tester is our back end that we're going to use later on. But this itself tells you if it's 10 carat, 14 carat, or 18 carat. It tells you also if it's not gold.
So I will know if I have 14 carat, 18 carat, or 24 carat.
No, you'll know if you have 10 carat. First of all, you'll know if it's gold. And then if it is gold, you'll know if it's 10 carat, 14 carat, or 18 carat, or more. Now, for those who don't know about gold, the carat stands for purity. And the higher the number, the more pure the gold is. Obviously, if you can, you'd like 24 carat because that's pure gold. And 12 carat is half gold.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm just guessing what's going through these guys' heads, but since I've worked with a lot of them, here's what I would do. I would start going through all the stuff we talked about. You start writing it down so that you understand what's going on. If you guys come up with things that I'm not thinking of, then you write them down. This is what happens before you're able to form the headline. You can't just write the headline out of thin air.
Where's the money?
Huh? I ran out of room. This is not all of them by any stretch. As a matter of fact, when I usually write, I'll have pages and pages of hot buttons because I want to explore every possible attack point there is. So right now, just as Bill was talking, these are just some points. Now, some of these points may or may not wind up in the headline.
Let's read some of the headlines we've got over here so far. Well, see, there's an unlimited number of headlines. I mean, you know that. There's no such thing as the ultimate headline.
Want me to read a couple?
Yeah. Well, you got the mic, right?
Yeah. All right, I've got a couple of different approaches to this. Now you can test gold like a jeweler.
That's good. I like that headline.
You know, sometimes you need to be able to make an analogy and to make this means I could be like a jeweler. I could know what's real gold and what isn't. The next best thing to a Midas touch, the idea being that if you can't turn something into gold, at least you can know real gold from phony gold. The $369 gold tester that would have saved me $10,678.24. And then Bill or whomever begins the letter by saying, that you know, I bought some gold and it turned out not to be real. I could have saved getting screwed if I would have had this tester. The inexpensive little couple of other things, but there's one thing that I wanted to say here, which is I think, you know, what we're doing here is a good approach, but I want to tell you something else too, which is that I think in a certain way you're working way too hard on doing this. It's a good exercise to do, but what I do at times like this sometimes is just to get a list of headlines and kind of go through it and see how can these headlines be adapted to what we're doing. And the thing about the "it could have saved me $10,068" came from a headline on this list which said a little mistake cost a farmer $3,000 a year. So that gave me the idea to change that into "this gold tester could have saved me $10,000. The secret to being, you know, you can take any headline on here, how to rob racetracks legally. You could take something from the gold tester and make it how to get gold legally, or how to tell if it's a certain kind of gold legally, something with "legally" in the headline. Help me here,
guys. What was your first headline, though? The very first.
Now you can test gold like a jeweler.
And if that was your headline, what would you use for a subhead? If now you can test gold like a jeweler. If the head is now, wouldn't you have something above that? Don't get ripped off. Or are you sure that all your gold is pure? Are you sure that all your gold is real? That's good. Something like that. I'm going to put your headline here. Okay. We're gonna have a picture. We're gonna have a picture of the device or something up there, or some kind of little caption on the front page. A picture either of a gold coin with a bar through it. These guys bought gold coins, right? We know they bought gold coins. So maybe we should say in a subhead, "Are you sure your gold coins are real gold?" How about thousands of investors bilked last year after buying fake gold coins?
How do you know that's true?
Well, I read this article that John Carlton wrote once. It had pictures of this gold bar that they had sawed in half, and actually what they'd done is filled the bar up with lead. I mean, taking a gold bar, a 1 pound bar of gold, which is worth a lot of money, and they had molted it down, filled one up with lead, and then put about a half inch thickness of gold over it. And of course, that has some value to it. And when a jeweler takes it, he'll scrape it off and do what's called an acid test. But he won't scrape off more than a half inch thickness. Well, a gold bar is about 2 inches thick. So basically, you pay a gold bar weighs 16 ounces. Gold sales at that time was $500 an ounce. So you're talking about something that was, $8,000 that really, if it was fake, was only worth about $200. No more than that, but about $800.
How about that superscript saying, "Is your ring really gold? Question mark. Are your diamonds same? Question mark. How does it sound?
I like the "is your ring really gold," but I don't say a thing. I'd say "ring." I say, "Is it real gold? Is your gold real?" I still kind of like that.
I think you have to be real specific. You have to be real careful about being too specific, because you're making assumptions about what people will use this for, and it might turn out that this device is going to be used for other, for more for testing rings than for testing coins.
Right.
Everybody tests their ring, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Everybody tests their ring. Now we're gonna settle this market. Yeah. The reason we define our market first is that there are a lot of different markets we could sell this product to. Had we not defined the market, we would have heck trying to write a headline. Now what we may do is sell this product to 50 different markets with 50 different letters. It would be nice to be able to find two or three letters that work with just changing the headline. But for this exercise, you're right. There will be a lot more people who would be interested, especially people who haven't yet bought gold but are getting ready to buy gold. Right. I mean, basically, you sell a roll of 10 gold coins and include the tester free. It would be another way to sell it. Mm-hmm.
There's also a business opportunity market of how to make money testing people's gold and saying it's real.
Yeah, David, let me just interrupt. These are pretty pretty much the appeals that I would go through. I would try to make a headline as I write that would fit each of these appeals and maybe combine them. And, huh? Them out. These are the appeals that I would use from my experience. And it was there are other appeals that are used in other products such as health and welfare, beauty and sex. Actually, I might try to fit sex in here.
you won't have sex.
So the ones I've got written up here are gloom and doom. The gloom and doom market is the people who are sure that the banks are going to follow the SNLs, that the government's going to fold, that Muslims are going to buy atomic weapons and annihilate New York next week.
I read that recently. Did you read that?
Yeah,
which letter was that in?
I wrote that.
Did you write that one?
The next appeal is the make money appeal. That's the ones that David was talking about. That's just ways that you can use this to put money into your pocket. Also, it would be the investment side of it. In other words, the story that Bill talked about. You might be able to make a living touring flea markets and testing gold there and buying things that people don't think are gold. I don't know how common that is, but you just did it just out of the first one you tried, so maybe that's something to think about. The fear market is close to the gloom and doom. It's a little bit different, though. That's not the probably gold. The inside info is use the, you know, this is the only, this wouldn't be the headline, but the appeal would be, this is the only way that you can get this particular thing. It's something that jewelers use. Most people don't have it. If you have it, you'll be one of the few in the country that have it. You'll be on the inside. People love to be on the inside of things, knowing things that other people don't know. I don't know how else to explain it. The other would be a bargain. I might use the bargain appeal because the price isn't $39. It's 100 and something. I forget what you came up with. Or is it a couple of hundred?
Well, let's sell this thing. I like what Gary's price, $397 plus $9 makes it $409.
Yeah. All right. It's still a bargain. You can, I'm not coming up with the headlines, but the first time you'd either discover something that is gold that no one else thought was gold, or the first time that you discover something you were going to buy as gold isn't gold, you would make your money. In other words, you would pay for the product the first time it did its thing for you. And sex, I wrote that down here. I'm not sure how I'd fit that in, but I would try to write a headline with sex in it. It would probably wind up being funny or absurd, but that's a very major appeal. People use sex to sell everything from soap to cars to real estate, so it's not out of line to try to use sex in this. So my recommendation to you guys out there would be to take each of these appeals and write a headline that tries to fit each of these different categories. Write one that will appeal to people who are basically afraid, people who are basically out to make money. And what you may do is try to combine them. You would take pieces of each of the headlines and combine them together.
I have a couple more headlines here. One is The Amazing Secret of a Famous Jeweler Who Once Got Fooled by Fool's Gold. And it's kind of like a, you know, it's the doom and gloom. Here's this expert who thought he knew everything about gold, and, you know, you tell the story of how he got fooled, and then he found this device, and now he his eyes are wide open. Okay, it's The Amazing Secret of a Famous Jeweler Who Once Got Fooled by, quote, fool's gold, unquote.
You know, something else, if I can just interrupt you. Karen, are you in here? No, the other Karen. How hard is it to get the piece that got the people on this list in the first place? Where are you at? Yeah. How hard would it be to get the piece that got these people to buy whatever product it was that got them on this list in the first place?
Could you get it from who's mailing what?
No, it would be difficult, but I would recommend trying to do that. Through contacts, I've been able to do that. So I know that, say, the Howard Ruff list, if it was available, I would know that a certain piece that he's used in the last year is what he used to get those people on that. So I would know what appeal they've already responded to. The appeal. So say if these people got on this list, if the people who bought the gold on this list bought it for investment reasons, then I would not necessarily want to do the gloom and doom. They may be doing it for making money, and that would be the hot button that I would want to try to redo.
Yeah, you might as well be up here anyway.
I just changed my clothes.
But you look great. Don't you think that Karen looks great?
The only thing that I can think of is that, again, if you're renting a list, you have to, if whoever rented this list before and did something successful, are you winking at me? Oh, okay. And did something successful, they had to submit a sample piece. So you may be able to work backwards to get whatever samples the list owner had of what pieces they had rented out to. The other thing is, where did the list come from? Do we know?
Yes. We pinpointed this morning that the list came from people who bought a gold coin within the last 3 months, priced in excess of $300 using a credit card.
From who?
Who's the list owner?
Yeah, well, who's the list owner? You've got, how many, anybody got, what?
Yeah, you should be able to go to Federal Coin Fund and say, did they submit a sample piece? And is it possible, you know, I want to rent your list, but I want to see what samples, what kinds of things that they got. And a broker should be able to get that for you. Should be able.
Boy, that's a real time saver, you know, because...
If you know what worked, it helps.
Money market too. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you know what worked, it's easy to reproduce something that works similarly.
And you have to be careful because,
In that same line, just to keep on that, when Gary Halbert was talking about the Howard Ruff piece that we wrote, we had at least 11 and maybe 16 special reports. The reason we did that is because each of those special reports addressed a different hot button. We had a gloom and doom special report. We had a special report about the bank failures. We had a special report about the SNL failures. We had a special report about making money precious metals. We had a special report about numismatics. We tried to cover every single hot button so that the people reading the letter may not have been interested in storing gold or the fact that silver has been way low for the last few years or that numismatics. But when they came to the report about the bank crisis and that was something that they were very, very upset about, then that triggered it off and they wanted to do that. Since we don't have that, that's just something that you will want to use, keep in your arsenal of writing tips.
The other thing to look at, parenthetically, if you get financial newsletters and you're looking at financial newsletters, often you'll see inserts. And I don't think we've talked about inserts yet, have we, Bill? If you have, it's complicated, I won't go into it now, but if you have inserts for financial newsletters, what are you doing over there, Carlton? Oh, you're being very supportive, thank you. thank you, they're not laughing at me. If you have inserts and you have an insert in a financial newsletter, there's an implicit endorsement because the insert is in with the newsletter. The person's already bought it, there's an insert, they're selling something. If you get a number of newsletters, watch the kinds of things that are selling in the newsletters to find out what your market is buying too. One of the things to look at is Phillips Publishing right now. Phillips Publishing is not doing a lot of inserts for coins. You don't see a lot of coins. They're not selling pandas. They're not selling eagles. They're not selling anything right now that are coin related. That's going to say something. So if you have a coin offer, you may be looking, and when you see nothing coming out of Phillips Publishing selling coins, it's probably not a great time to be selling coins. Well, maybe I want to be buying coins, but Buck?
Yeah, they're not going to, I was just thinking about that. If you say panic spreads through the coin investment market because thousands of fraudulent coins surface, I bet you money that the investment coin market is going to say absolutely not. Because it'll kill their business. It might be a good letter, but it'll kill their business, and they're not going to let you buy their list.
And people you rent from will want to see whatever you're mailing.
That's right. Yeah. The other thing is, and this may sound simplistic, but you also don't want to criticize people for stupid things that they've done in the past, because whenever they did it in the past, they did it because they thought it was a wise, smart decision. So if you say, because you were an idiot in the past and you bought coins when silver was at $12 an ounce, blah, 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 you don't want them to think that you're acknowledging the fact that they made a really stupid mistake. You may be able to capitalize on it, but you don't want to rub their nose in it.
How you deal with stupid things is you never say that they did stupid things. You always say that somebody else did stupid things. See, whenever you talk about doing stupid things that somebody else did it, whenever you talk about good things, you say, you can get this, you can get that, you can get this other thing. The good things you say, you. The bad things you say, him, her, he, she, it, whatever, I, use yourself. That's acceptable, but never say you did a stupid thing.
And with the paranoia market, it's also important to know that these people are also extraordinarily hopeful, and they're waiting for the time that things are going to get better, and they're hoping it's
they're waiting for the time things get worse.
Get worse and then get better.
But they want to be rulers of the world.
That's true, but they're usually pessimistic, hopeful people. Can you say that, Bill?
Pessimistic,
Can I make a comment here? Abe came up with a good idea, unique selling proposition, or what's your hottest, most compelling benefit, and here's what he wrote. Now you can verify your hard-earned gold and silver assets and have an instrument that can earn you extra money. Okay, now that's the idea. That's a good idea. And here's kind of a refinement. Here would be the superhead. It would say, attention gold investors, don't get ripped off. Amazing gold tester, make sure the gold you buy is authentic. So same idea, I just kind of move the words around a little bit.
Why don't you read the two I just handed you?
And I started off with some sensational type headlines, and...
No. Loretta, come stand up here so people can see you.
Too short, thank you. All right, it's good. I like applause before I speak because I may not get it after I'm finished. Ohio man commits suicide when he discovers his $100,000 gold investment is worth only $12,562. American Gemological Association scandal erupts as 50% of Manhattan's jewelers discovered selling fake gold. I lost $50,000 and learned the hard way that all that glitters isn't gold. How you can save yourself from making the same mistake. And a $379 investment saved me from making a $50,000 mistake or from losing my life savings.
Yeah, the last one is the one, because the other one, we're reinforcing that if you've already bought gold, you're probably haven't made the mistake. I want to read one here from Dave Bancroft over here. Yeah, read the last one again. The last one is the one I like the best. Read the last one again.
Okay, I have two endings on it. A $379 investment saved me from making a $50,000 mistake. Or a $379 investment saved me from losing my life savings.
I want to read one from Dave Bancroft over here. I like this one. Retired grandfather earns an extra $2,000 a month visiting local pawn shops. That's interesting. Retired grandfather earns an extra $2,000 a month visiting local pawn shops. Or here's another one. The amazing device that could save your retirement nest egg. Yeah, I don't know, that's a little ambiguous, but it's not bad.
One thing you might want to point out about those two, though, is you mentioned this before, is to be real careful that we're addressing this.
Right, those were good headlines, but not for this particular offer. They were good headlines, but not for this particular group of people. Right, but we want to be real specific because we know they've just bought gold coins in the last 90 days. I mean, we know that they're sitting at home rubbing their hands on these gold coins they bought in the last 90 days. It's a very good offer, and it's a good treasure hunting appeal. We have more offers out here. Let's read the experts' headlines first, and then we'll pass the mic out here. Let everybody get in on it.
I've got two or three headlines here and a subhead. Amazing new device helps you avoid getting ripped off purchasing anything made with gold. How much hidden wealth can you find in your nearest antique store or flea market?
I like that one.
How to make extra money finding hidden gold in your own backyard. How to make a personal fortune verifying real from fake gold. The subhead is find gold coins, rings, jewelry for 10 cents on the dollar using amazing new tester that's fully guaranteed. And then there's a few like sentences in the early part of the ad. Are all the coins in your possession real? Suppose you could go to your local antique store, flea market, jewelry store, and buy gold for 10 cents on the dollar or even less. Is your ring real gold? allows you to test just in case what you bought is not real gold, used by jewelers, not available in retail stores.
That's a good point. Yeah, you definitely want to include that, not available in retail stores. Definitely want to include that in the letter.
You will be on the inside. You will be an insider. Fits in your pocket.
I like that. Fits in your pocket.
I think also, by the way, there should be a photograph in the ad that should say either full size or half size or three-quarter size because it's small. It should be played up on that. I like the Joe Sugarman, like holding it with a hand like that. First time you find anything fake in your gold purchases, you'll pay for this device.
How about join in the Great American Treasure Hunt? Yeah, the Great American Gold Rush of the 90s. Those are points we can use.
That last headline in print was a nice final sentence. You know, it'll pay for itself the first thing you find is phony.
Yeah, but I don't like it. It'll pay for itself the first thing you find is phony. I like it. It'll pay for itself the first treasure you find that's not marked gold. It really is.
I've got one.
I'm going to let somebody else operate this computer. Who wants to key stuff in?
I've just got one more I'd like to read. I like that thing that Bill was talking about the wedding ring and about trying it on the wedding rings and stuff. So some of you will recognize the origin of this headline, but she laughed when I pointed this amazing little device at her wedding ring, but when it revealed it was phony, .. And then it goes on to say how shocked she was, and then I took it home and I pointed at my gold coins and found a gold coin that was phony. And boy, am I glad I got it, et cetera, et cetera.
I have some headlines before I run out. Okay, this one is, there are gold coins or gold rings. In this case, we'll say gold rings, two wedding bands. And the headline reads, which is the real gold ring? This amazing new device knows for sure.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. That's good.
Another one. This doesn't have the same pictures, though. Did your jeweler sell a fake? Now there's an easy, foolproof way. How to make a fortune. This is for the business opportunity version. How to make a fortune buying throwaway scrap gold for pennies on the dollar and selling it for thousands in profits. On. What every wife should know about her wedding ring. Now, what wife is not going to read that ad? An open letter to every wife. The amazing secret lying hidden in your wedding ring. What a wife is not going to read that. And this one is for the people who bought the gold coins. Fake gold coins flood market. Amazing new device exposes fakes. It's kind of a newsy, newspaper type. And then the last one. Which of your gold coins is a fake? This amazing device shows you instantly.
Very good. You know, you could test all of those, except that you got such a small sample. I would be tempted to test them anyway and just keep close track of it. You may get a high response. This is what I did. This is how I typically write stuff. And I come up with a superscript, a headline, and then a subscript, which I've tried to include all of the hot buttons that I know the gold markets that I've written to respond to. And the superscript would be, did you pay real gold prices for phony coins or jewelry? The headline is, how to profit from the international fake gold scam now ripping off almost every gold buyer in Arkansas. And we didn't talk about that, but you can segment the list by state or even by city or by zip code, which would make it in the neighborhood. And you could say, if you wanted to, every gold buyer on Maple Street in any town, Arkansas, with a very small... how much does it cost to do those notes, to do that kind of segmentation? Keep going down.
It's not very expensive because what you do is you print a master letter, say for Arkansas, and anybody in Arkansas gets that letter, and then you print a master letter for Texas, everybody in Texas gets that letter, you know, so you don't have to personalize it for each individual, just for each state. That's all you have to do.
Okay, and then the subhead to this is, it's a scandal that could ruin your life savings, your future, and your marriage. Only a handful of savvy investors will escape, and only if they act fast. So
I'm going to pass the mic in the audience. What you're seeing here, oh, wait, I'm sorry, Karen Anderson.
No, I was just going to say, we can talk more about the mechanics of it later, but one of the things you can do is I can't, is the printer here? I can't remember his first name.
Yeah, Wayne Bennett.
Wayne, when you're doing a printing, you can, down at the bottom, you can code it like ABCD, and then you can take, you can continue taking off the D, so it's ABC, and then it's AB, and then it's A, and all they have to do is lift off that one when they're printing it. So you can print different things with codes on it. I can't remember what the name of that's called. Anybody remember? Huh? So that you can put a code on the bottom and you can find out what's worked. This is talking about how to, well, you can do that on a label and you can do it on your... Anyway, yeah, there are ways that you can do your tests. And the other thing we haven't talked about is AB splits and how to do that. We can get into that later. But there are ways that you can test it and you can track it that aren't even obvious within your mailing. And
very good. We're going to talk more about AB splits. Okay. So you're going to get over everybody's head real quick. We're going to talk. We're going to have three more days of this. We're going to talk about AB splits and testing. Okay, now what we're going to do here. Yeah, I'm going to explode here. I'm going to pass this around. And anybody who has a headline, we want to hear your headlines. Because this is how you do copywriting, unless you hire one of these people to do it.
I use the fool's
gold. Speak it out loud.
The fool's gold.
Yep. Just speak it out loud.
Okay, fool's gold or real gold, which will you really buy or sell? How you can be sure and protect yourself with the security and knowledge of an infallible test with a little-known inexpensive device that fits in your pocket or purse, parentheses not available in stores.
That was good. I like the last two-thirds of it better than I like the first half. Speak up. Matter of fact, why don't you stand up and face the audience and see what it feels like to stand in front of 120 people and read your work of art and have everybody go, ugh.
Have you ever been afraid that you purchased fake gold? This ancient mystery is now out in the open. The ancient mystery being, is this really gold?
Who's next? Keep your day job.
It's Brian Redfield, and first I have a question. You mentioned before that you can buy a gold bar with a lead inner thing. Will this tell you that one way or the other?
It sure will.
It's a good benefit.
Yeah, this is the only, an acid test won't show a fake gold bar. The only way to find a fake gold bar is to cut it in half or do this kind of test. And with this kind of tester, if it's gold plated or not solid gold, each time you take a reading, the gold rating will drop. Each time you take a reading, it may start at 12 carat, but if you take another reading, it'll drop to 10 and then 6, and then it'll say not gold.
Oh, it gives me another headline then.
Right.
Are your gold coins solid? Are you sure? Now you can be.
I like the word solid.
Okay, my first headline is, did the guy who just sold you your gold coins rip you off without your even knowing it? Didn't even hear me.
Yeah, we heard you.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, we heard you.
Oh. Here. Bill?
Who's next?
Bill? Bill, this is a little off the track, but Karen and I were just talking, and we came up with a pretty good idea.
Who came up
with the idea? I did. Karen came up with the idea, and I made it better. We were talking about the price, and we may want to go with this price, but one of the things that you do is you keep thinking about the price. You want to obsess about it until you get it right. And one of the things that we came up with was to, I was thinking that I would start with a really high price on this. I would have gotten down to the price that Gary came up with only after starting at a grand or $1,500. Now, it's risky because you're going to a small market and these guys haven't expressed the desire to pay that much for anything. But the way I would do it is to, in the offer would be, you would get this machine. You would also get some real gold in this machine to make sure it works. Gary's found out that by including fake jewelry at certain times will increase the offer. By including real gold to people who have already bought gold, you're going to jump it through the roof. If you get $1,500 for this package, that's an incredibly strong appeal. Shut up.
Yeah, you can buy a 10th-ounce panda for $40.
Get it.
And then if you could charge $600 this, if you could add another $300 profit by adding $40 expenses worth doing.
Yeah, you can give them real gold and you give them fake gold and you can say, test your machine and see which one works. And then when you have your pack...
I'm sorry, there's something incredibly ugly in the back of the room making noise. Bill, you forgot to lock the door again. Jesus, let anybody in here.
No, you know what you could do, John, is you could make this a $1,500 investor survival kit and make this product just part of it, the special report part of it, and throw some other things
in. Put the diamond tester in with it.
Put the diamond tester in. Put in a couple fake Krugerrands. You know, have them made up. What the hell?
Yeah, and you can keep going too. You could write your own newsletter. You could start to feed these guys back end stuff all over the place, and include in the package.
You could start a never-ending river of sewage paranoia to these people, sucking money from them every step of the way.
That's right.
I think, you know, I like the idea of starting with a $1,500 or a $1,900 product first, and then going down instead of selling the kit. Because, you know, I'll tell you something I have learned. In any group of real prospects, there's a small percentage of those people who will spend thousands with you, many thousands, 100,000 with you. There's another percentage that will spend $2,000 or $3,000. And if you offer them this $299 thing first, you may be doing yourself a disservice. I mean, you could make this with the diamond tester. What else? You got some other paranoid
stuff. The diamond
tester,
$88. We can buy fake gold Krugerrands for $6 a piece, or make our own $6 a piece. You get them in a little authentic certificate. It'll say authentic fake Krugerrand, not to be used to fool anybody. But Gary's right, because, you know, if we invest $600 to test this thing, we can test it for $1,900. How many sales do we have to make at $1,900 to break even? If it costs
0.14.
Right.
No, it's 0.137.
Oh, that's right. Well, I round it off.
Yeah, Gary's right again. That's why he makes the big bucks. Oh, we have some headlines back here.
You may have paid a crook to steal from you and don't know it.
That's good.
Let's hear some more drivel from the audience.
It's on.
Okay.
You have to speak up, though.
Okay. Is your gold as false as grandma's false teeth? New product has turned the tables on unscrupulous dealers of gold, silver, and diamond. Has your wife hawked her diamonds, gold jewelry, and now wearing zircons? Are you sure your gold coins are real? Has your gold bar and...
As simple as that sounds, that's really superb.
Say it again, Gary.
What that gentleman just said, it may not sound real tricky and clever, and it may not produce a lot of laughs, but it was the best headline I've heard yet. Are you sure your gold coins are real? Because it gets right to the heart of what we're selling here. We're really not selling people. People really don't give a damn if their wife's wedding is real or not. That's a good gimmick to catch attention. What they do care about is, are these gold coins real? And a real simple headline like that got right to the heart of the matter, and that is the essence of what we're selling these people, you know, a way to find out if they just blew their money or not.
So hey, I just thought of one. How about I'll bet you $100 that the gold coins you bought last month are fake, and then the guarantee is they get this, and you offer them as part of the package a report or something worth $100 that they can keep. If they don't want the machine, they have to send the machine back. Or you could send them the Krugerrand and the report, you know, how to avoid being ripped off by the Krugerrand scandal. That's, you know, That's killing everybody. And that's part of the guarantee. And you're actually betting them that the gold coins they bought, and you would allude to the fact that they had bought gold coins in the last certain period of time. I like that a lot.
I don't care for it much.
Now, but personally, I still like Gary Halbert's idea. Let's forget the $409 price and bundle up a few other things and sell the thing for $700 or $800.
Wait a minute. How did this get to be Gary Halbert's idea?
Well, Karen gave it to you.
I got the mic.
Well, now that Gary has surpassed us all, a lot of these got old all of a sudden. How to save yourself from being raped by your friendly local jeweler. Is that ring on your finger real gold? Is it? Can you prove it? I can, and so can you in 10 seconds. 15 seconds that can save your marriage and your wallet. Make $320 in 10 seconds by pushing one button. Local jeweler destroys your marriage in a heartbeat. I can prove that gold coin in your safe is a fake in 10 seconds. Can you? Coin dealer reveals insider secret on how to buy gold at 10 cents on the dollar. Your next gold coin purchase could be your last. It was almost mine. And massive coin fraud threatens your personal wealth. Your peace of mind is assured in a simple 10-second test.
I like the emphasis on 10 seconds. I mean, I like that part best of all. The 10 seconds is good. Because it makes it easy to use. Everybody wants something easy to use, a magic pill. That gets us closer up to the ultimate magic.
Would you like to sell gold at 50% off market price and still make 500% profit?
That's good.
All that glitters isn't gold. Only a few insiders with this remarkable gold tester will now know for sure.
That's good. I like that.
Okay, Bill? I just had another one pass through. These go in and leave really fast, so I got to jump in. The headline would be just two words, free gold, and it would play off the story that you guys did in the flea market. And it is, and, you know, my name is Bill, dear friend, my name is Bill Myers. I have the most incredible story to tell you. If you have ever bought gold, or if you ever plan to buy gold, or if you're even interested in gold, you need to hear everything I'm about to tell you. It could change your life. It could mean, et cetera, et cetera. And then I get into gloom and doom. Then I tell the story.
Yeah, you can say, learn how to buy this gold panda ring.